in this afternoon worship service with the singing of hymn number 903. My bosom was designed to be a house of prayer, O Lord, for Thee, a temple undefiled. But vile, outrageous thieves broke in and turned the house into a den, and all its glory spoiled. 903. Holy Word this afternoon you can find in the Gospel of John chapter 3. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing, except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing and teach us to pray. Most holy, almighty and sovereign Lord, thou who art altogether glorious, thou who knowest no time, for thou art eternal, thou who never slumbers nor sleeps, O Lord, thou who art yet gracious and long-suffering, O gracious Lord art thou, how patient and forbearing. O Lord, we bow before thy throne of grace in this day, the Lord's day, and come before thee in the house of prayer, to call upon thy most holy name. O hear us, Lord, in heaven. And O that thou might grant to those that know the plague of the heart, that they might be given the answers and the desires that they send before thee. O hear us, Lord, for thy great name's sake, and that thy name may be glorified in the salvation of sinners this day, in the edifying of thy people, who seek thy communion, in thy presence and thy favors. O grant, O Lord, unto the petitioning souls, the hungering and thirsting, that truly their eye may be fastened upon Christ by living faith. O that all the doubts and fears and despondencies may be taken away, and O that they may rejoice for a season, and their hearts may be on fire. O that they may rejoice in Christ their Savior. Lord, do come this day, and remember the unconverted, unregenerate, and untouched, the hardened soul, the rebellious soul, the unwilling soul. O Lord, the deaf soul, the lifeless soul. Almighty God, that thou would break the rocks and the hard hearts, and that thou would incline souls to come unto Christ, that thou would fill souls with need, and with sorrow, and with spiritual distress, and with sin burdens, and with shame, that they might come to Christ for forgiveness, they might plead with Christ for mercy, and find favor this day with thee. Lord, help us all together. Oh, we have great needs and set them before thee. Thou art great, a great and high and almighty God. And thou alone, Lord, we believe, art able to hear us and answer us and help us. Oh, prove thyself to be the living God, the God of Abraham and of Jacob and Isaac. O the God of a living people and a sighing people, that truly we may rejoice in thy name. O Lord, bless us with an increase of thy kingdom, and those souls that may be inclined to come unto thee, to testify, to put up a profession of faith, and the wonders of being born again. Lord, remember us all together. Remember us in this group, our church, that thou wilt favor us with love and with humility, that thou would guide us and lead us in the paths of life, to become least, and then all of the saints together, and though a chief sinner, saved by Christ. Lord, remember us, bind us together with love and with peace and with prayer, with concerns for one another, and rejoicing with those that are lifted up. Truly, Lord, make us Christians, living undefiled, separate from the world. Oh, give us then, Lord, the acts of charity and love within us. Pour thy love within our souls, that it may come out, that faith may prove itself by works and love. So, Lord, remember us. Lord, we lay before thee our beloved children, our families, our great needs in this life, our providential needs. Daily, Lord, how we do need thee, thy guiding, thy care, thy strength. Oh, that thou would yet prosper us in the way, that thou, Lord, may teach us who we are, that thou would show us the emptiness of this world, the necessity of being saved. Oh, that this world is a perishing place, a poor place without thee, that we might live our lives in a humble trust, in a humble dependency upon thee, that thou would shine thy light upon our paths, and that we might go, Lord, with that precious faith, trusting in thy wisdom and thy care for us. Lord, remember our young ones as they grow up in this world. Oh, we pray that that prayer of Jesus might be for them, that thou would keep them from the evil one, and the evil of this world, that thou make them thy pillars in the church to come. O Lord, that thou would show thyself wise, show thyself as able to overcome difficulties and trials and troubles in life, to give the answers and the needs of life, for thou, Lord, art able to do all things. Oh, give us then, young and old together, that knowledge of thy wonders and thy power and of thy mercies. Lord, remember the aged in weakness and frailty, that thou might remember such ones, and that they may know something of a loving Savior. Lord, we do commend to thee our dear brother whom we have heard of yesterday, that upon the deathbed, his last days, but Lord, we do praise thee for thy faithfulness, for the wonders of thy visits, for the tenderness of thy ways, for the revelations of Jesus Christ, and that blessed assurance made known to him. O Lord, we do praise thee for these things. O, do take him into thy loving arms. O thou great God, and that the work that he has done in his life may prove to be a blessing to poor sinners yet. And Lord, do remember all thy other servants, and our dear brethren as they preach the word. O Lord, that I might favor them, and give them strength and help, that thou, Lord God, might grant that they might be a strength through Zion, a teaching of Zion, encouraging of Zion, preachers of truth, steadfast in the way, set their faces as flint, fearing no man, no frown, no condemnation, no reproach, preaching that word that thou hast given them and bidden them to speak. Lord, do bless thy precious word in our homes, in our hearts. Do bless that precious word and send it throughout this world. And do bestow thy Holy Spirit upon the translators. Oh, the word, Lord, how it is contested, and how it is reproached, how is it hated. But grant, Lord, a love amongst us and throughout this land. Almighty God, that thou give a hunger and thirst after thy blessed word, and it might prove to be the blessing to our never-dying souls. Lord, we do ask even this day that thou might bless us with thy presence, and bless us with the power of the word, and bring us upon that living way. Lord, do remember our sick ones and troubled ones and tried ones, and do come, thou blessed Jesus, do appear and comfort the soul. Prove that the afflictions of life and sickness and sorrows might soften hearts and bring sinners unto thee, and that thy name may be glorified, thy compassion may be known, and thy healing power felt in souls. They might praise thee, Lord, for affliction and grief and tears. Lord, we thank thee again this day, for thou art worthy. Oh, we would bless thee and praise thee that thou art God. We thank thee, O Heavenly Father, that thou art almighty in power, and none shall prevail against thy will nor thy ways. We do thank thee for the church that thou hast chosen and set upon Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that thou art God. Thank thee for thy mercy and thy love in sending thy Son Jesus Christ, the salvation of thy people, and the wonders of redeeming love, salvation made known, rebellious sinners made willing, profane brought to love holiness in Christ. Oh, we praise thee for Jesus, thy dear Son, thy glorious Son, almighty in power and eternal in time, and yet the one who came to earth and lived upon this world, and conquered sin and destroyed Satan, and made a way of holiness and peace and salvation. The glorious theme of the cross, the dear dying man, the groans of the dear Savior, the willingness to take up our sins upon himself. O Lord, we thank thee for these great and precious themes. His resurrection power, the life breathed in dead sinners, his intercessory work even now. He lives forever and ever at thy right hand, waiting, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. O, we praise thee, O Father, for thy Spirit, that poor, ignorant, and unlearned may know, that children may become babes, oh, that souls might be drawn. Oh, we thank you for the Spirit to teach, to enlighten, to remember and reveal. Oh, Lord God, we bow before thee this day. Remember us, Lord, in mercy. We confess our sins and acknowledge our unworthiness, but thou art great. Thou art high and far wiser than us and far stronger than us. O Lord, remember us for Christ's sake. Make up what we fail in asking, and forgive all of our worship this day. In Jesus Christ, we pray all these things in his glorious name. Amen.
Continue with singing hymn number 671. 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. 671.
Thank you.
If you don't need the Lord's help again for this afternoon, we would draw your prayerful attention to John chapter 3, the 7th verse. John 3, verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I know I've preached on this text before, but feel it laid upon my spirit, beloved friends, to speak of it again this afternoon, of the great importance of the necessity of being born again, the great wonder of being born again, the impossibility of man knowing anything of spiritual life, of spiritual salvation, without the work of God in the soul. I want to speak this afternoon as the Lord may enable me first of the marvel of being born again, or the wonder, and secondly, the necessity of being born again, and thirdly, of the work itself of being born again. The Lord Jesus Christ in this chapter here, in this first portion of this chapter, John 3, is addressing Nicodemus, the night disciple. He's addressing one who, within his heart, is wondering. He has witnessed something of the power, the almighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see within him an inner working. We see in him a desire to know something of what it is to be born again. We know that there is a misunderstanding of the words of Jesus as he comes before Jesus to be instructed by the great master of Israel, Jesus himself, the rabbi. We know that when Jesus says, ye must be born again, he mistakes the word again. Although it's very clear in Jesus' words that Jesus is saying ye must be born from above, yet he mistakes the words of Jesus to mean you must be born a second time. The Greek word is very different. Anathem means from above. Jesus used the word anathem. And Nicodemus is saying a second time, which is deuteron. It's not even the same word in the Greek. Same in our language, but not in the discourse when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And yet we find a misunderstanding there. For when the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born from above, except you be born from above, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you receive that instruction from heaven. He does not understand. He is a master of Israel, a leader in the Sanhedrin, the ruling group of men that guided Israel in its laws. He is such an excellent scholar and well-learned man. And yet how unlearned he is to the solemn truth of salvation. What it is to be converted. How it is that we are converted. What is needed to be converted. What it means to be converted. And beloved friends, you and I must be instructed in the same way in which Nicodemus is instructed. By God himself. By Jesus Christ, the Son of God. By the living Word of God. By the Spirit of God. As Jesus explains a little deeper to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I feel at this time, beloved friends, how needful it is for us to be instructed in that sense of what we believe the true salvation of men, women, and children is. What it is to be born again. What it is to be converted. And why there is such a deep necessity of these truths to be maintained, these truths to be preached, to steadfastly hold to that which what we believe is conversion. And I've spoken the other day, and I'd say it's being laid heavy on my spirit again, is that of that particular family who has a blog and who maintain, they're in our community, very close amongst us, and who maintain that we do not need a new heart. We do not need to ask God for a new heart. We do not need, in that sense, to know what we say is vital for salvation, what is taught by the Spirit of God, what is revealed from heaven. We simply must go to Jesus and believe in the name of Jesus and all shall be well. We want to speak, dear friends, how it's laid on my spirit and what I believe the Word of God declares concerning the necessity of a new heart. Why it is that it is such a marvel. How contradictory it is to flesh, to human reasoning, to carnal understanding, to carnal knowledge. In all our study, in all our reasoning, in all our arguments, shall never, ever make us born again. Never. Salvation is of God. Salvation is from God. Salvation is through God. And salvation is all glory unto God. In the marvelous way in which He works in a sinner's heart. And He did all His beloved friends from above. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Christ. And you might say, well, we all know that. We all believe that. We all accept it. But what a vital difference it is, beloved friends, to know it in our hearts or to know it in our head, in our knowledge. In our studies, whether young children in Sunday school or our lessons at school in which we are instructed in our religion and our doctrine and our upbringing. How different it is to believe it in our head or believe it in our heart. Nicodemus, he knew there was a Christ. He knew that there was a Messiah. The Old Testament constantly revealed that truth. What he didn't know was Jesus was the Christ. But he needed to learn that the beloved Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, he despised the Nazarene. The lowly esteemed son of Joseph and Mary. The carpenter's son. Beelzebub. The man who ate with the gluttonous and the wine bibber, who ate with sinners and publicans. He was the Christ. He was the Savior. He was the dear dying man who had no sin. He was the almighty power of God. He was the very Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who partook of human flesh and came down to earth to become that glorious and precious substitute for his beloved bride. And this solemn truth known in us, beloved friends, is an exceeding great marvel. He is the Christ. Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Messiah. And we'll come to know something of what the woman in John 4 said. We know that when Messiah is come, He will teach us all things. All friends, have we been taught of the Messiah? Have we heard the voice of the Beloved One enter within us? And has the precious Holy Lamb of God become our only hope, our living hope, and only expectation in life and the life to come? Except a man be born again, or except a man be born from above. It is a marvel. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not. A marvel is a thing to be wondered at. Do not wonder at this truth. You are a master of Israel, brought up in the laws of the laws of Moses, the laws of the land, the traditions of the elders. Well rehearsed in the things of Israel, civil and ceremonial, brought up in these laws. You are a master of Israel, a ruler of the Jews, of the sect of the Pharisees, which, by the way, friends, was, according to Gill, the soundest doctrine at that time amongst the people of Israel. And Nicodemus was such a one. He was teaching the common law, the common people. He lived a very strict life, the strictest life of the law of the Pharisees. He was filled with zeal and a supposed love to God. But he wasn't born again or born from above. Utterly ignorant to what it was to be truly righteous before God. Truly acceptable before God. And truly to believe in God. In Christ Jesus. What is our religion today? You might say you're not like Nicodemus. A Pharisee?
Like Nicodemus, so ignorant. To believe like the Jews, they, if you go to Acts 2 or John 2 in the 23rd verse, you read why it was that Nicodemus came to Jesus. It was a Passover day. It was the feast day in Jerusalem. And recorded there in that chapter, it says that Jesus did many miracles in that day in the sight of the people. And many believed on him for the works that he did. They saw the miracles that Jesus performed. It doesn't describe what they were in detail, but we can imagine, as in other times, it stated how he healed, gave sight to the blind, and the lame that had not walked since birth, he caused them to walk, and the paralyzed, he gave them the ability to move. All the wonders, the love of Christ, and the power made known, and it said, and many believed on him. But they were not born again. They were not born from above. We read there in the 23rd and 24th, 25th verses of that chapter, I believe it is. But Jesus, he knew who they were. He knew that they only believed outwardly. They only saw the power, were moved in some way for the power, the wonders of that work. But they weren't born from above. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knows what's in your heart, friends. He knows your religious life. He knows your religious persuasion. He knows your religious thoughts. He knows whether this righteousness is his or yours. He knows whether your zeal, your Christian zeal, your efforts are truly those from above or those which are stimulated in your own emotions and feelings. He knows whether we are genuine Christians or not. Don't think in that sense, dear friends, that the Israelites at that time were not religious. There was much religion at that time. But all outward. All false. All hypocritical. All pharisaical. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer towards God is, for Israel is, what? That they might be saved. For they have a zeal to God, but not according to knowledge. And they going about to establish a righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They had a zeal. They were scholars. They studied at night. They studied during the day. They walked that path in the day. They were religious people. But they were not born again. Are you better, dear friends? Am I better in that sense than the Jews at that time? Are we truly beloved friends? A people who have received instruction from heaven? We may have been like Nicodemus. We came with a longing. We may have come filled with ignorance and filled with a misunderstanding. But we came to Jesus to be instructed. Lord, teach me. Lord, apply these truths unto my soul that I might know what it is to be born from heaven. The only acceptable way whereby my soul can be saved. And believe it, beloved friends, there is no way you nor I can ever be saved except it be from heaven. In John 1, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, says that he came into the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Oh, you say there, the many that received him. You see, you can receive him. You can believe on him. Which were born not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, which were born of God. That's how they received him. That's how they believed him. That's how they understood him. That's how they were forgiven their sins by him.
because they were born from above. It's a marvel, which we ought not to marvel and not wonder at. That Jesus Christ is the Emmanuel, the eternal Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the only hope of a poor sinner, the only means of reconciliation with an angry God. He's the only means of the cleansing of our filth and our sins and our guilt. He's the only one that can cleanse the heart and bid Satan be gone. What is Jesus to us? Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. This is a necessity. This is the only way that poor sinners can be saved, washed, redeemed, reconciled, and reunited unto God. Oh, how foolish we are by nature. How wretched is our state. How foolish is our understanding concerning the things of heaven and the salvation of our souls. And when we turn to the second point, beloved friends, we speak of a great necessity, the necessity of being born again. And when I speak of that necessity, beloved friends, we, the Lord's people, I believe all will learn in some measure of the necessity that we must be born again. When people tell us, when people advocate a stance that you do not need to be born again, they do not know the necessity of being born again. They do not know that foundation truth of Calvinistic doctrine which we adhere to, which we firmly believe in and cannot move from, total depravity. The very first of the foundation truths of John Calvin was total depravity of man. The utter loss of all knowledge, all righteousness and holiness in God. And for us to be united unto God, it must come from God, through God. When people say, you can believe in Christ to be saved, they do not understand, we cannot believe in God, we will not believe in God, because our natural state is, we shall not believe in God. We have rejected God in paradise. We've lost His whole image and all our willingness and any of desire ever to be saved again. That is a solemn truth. When we speak of the necessity of being born from above, it is because everything that is of flesh is defiled and ruined. Everything of flesh, of the heart and of the flesh, is incapable of receiving the things of heaven unless God work it. That's why there's a necessity. You must be. Except you be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven in any other means, in any other way, in any exertion, in any other study. The child of God that is to be reduced in utter poverty to who he really is, praises the truth that Jesus Christ is invested with the almighty power of God, for He is God. In John Gill's book, The Cause of God and Truth, who writes a whole book on that text, for who hath resisted His will? Oh, the almighty wonder that God has a people that He shall save. From the never begun eternity, He has chosen them all. And at the appointed time, He will bring them to the feet of Christ to receive that being born from heaven. A vital necessity, because our hearts are not capable. It is the seat of all affection. It is a place that controls our understanding, our will, our chief desires. And then we include the flesh because it is that which moves according to the condition of the heart. Heart and the flesh cannot receive the things of God. How alarmed, how astonished Nicodemus was when this truth was set in his ears. I am out of favor with God. I am out of acceptance with God with all of my religion and all of my supposed holiness and all of my scholarly abilities and my title as a master and ruler of the Jews. I'm only born on this earth and all my religion is in my flesh. All my religion is in my head and has never entered my soul. The old ministers always say, and you already know what's coming, it's a religion that's a foot too high. The religion that's in the right place is there because it's planted there by God. It touches the heart. And from the heart it moves throughout all of the faculties of the body. Proverbs 28 verse 26 says this, "He that trusteth his own heart is a fool." He that trusteth his own heart. That heart that he's born with, the place where all affections are. In Matthew 6 it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where are our hearts, beloved friends? Our affections? Who is the one who reigns and rules on that throne? For the heart has a throne, you know. And on that throne sits one of two, Satan or Jesus. And Jesus alone can thrust Satan out. Expelled out of paradise, Satan took control of the heart, the citadel of a man. This is a frightening truth. Exceeding frightening truth that we are taught, we need to be taught. Hymn 733. Astonished and distressed, I turned my eyes within, my heart with loads of guilt oppressed, the seat of every sin. Out of the heart proceed every evil thought. Matthew 15 verse 16. That's why we need a new heart, beloved friends. And anybody who advocates different than this is not born from above. They may prate all they want. They may speak of all the texts in the Bible. But how they do misappropriate them to falsehood and deceit. For Jesus Christ himself declared, ye must be born again. The evil heart, out of which proceeds every evil thought, must be cleansed. Must have his rival in our ruler dispelled. Now, has he, beloved friends, been expelled from your heart and mine? Has the precious word of God revealed that terrifying truth of Jeremiah 17:9? The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I'm not talking of repetition. I'm not talking of memorizing texts. I'm talking, beloved friends, of being born from above. Having the startling awareness made known to us that our heart is so desperately deceitful, wicked, vile, and it cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That is what Jesus is teaching Nicodemus. Oh, Nicodemus, it's not just the profane person I'm talking about here. It's not that wicked man down the street who sells drugs, who lives a profane, wicked life, who spends his life in the bar, in the rock concerts at all evil things and swears like a trooper. It's not him, beloved friends, we're addressing as well. We're addressing every man, woman, and child whose heart has not been cleansed by Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, you are one of these at the moment. Are you born again? Oh, Nicodemus, Look inside the heart. Only God gives the grace to look inside our hearts. And we may be painfully aware with Nicodemus, we need to be born again. How can these things be? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus, you have a master's degree. You are an exceeding great and excellent scholar. You are well versed in the things of the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. But are you born again? From above? And Nicodemus testifies yet of his own ignorance as he says, how can these things be? Well, the wonder is Nicodemus is being mysteriously drawn, for he's a child of God. He truly shall know what it is to be born from above, to receive the instruction of the Holy Spirit, and to have within his own soul the presence of Christ to cleanse him, and to be transformed from a disciple of night to a disciple of day, to come at Jesus' death and declare himself as one of his children and one of his disciples. How he needed, in our particular chapter, to know what it was to be saved, the necessity of it. Nicodemus, your heart is defiled. That question of the disciples, why do your disciples not wash their hands when they eat, before they eat? And Jesus inquired of them, do you not know that it's not what you eat, it's not what you take into your mouth, it goes into the belly and into the draught. That doesn't defile you. It's what comes out of the heart that defiles. And in our text that we have already quoted, for out of the heart proceedeth every evil thought. Friends, have we ever, ever had this truth made known to us? That we stop trying to do those things that are pleasing to God because we cannot do those things that are pleasing to God of our own. We stop bringing arguments before God that He will accept us for our efforts and for our religion and for our prayers and for our Bible reading and for our studies and for all the things we do. Oh dear friends, I am no different. When I look back at the Lord's work in my own heart, and I look back at that law work, and I look back at the deep exercises of my soul, and I remember the agonies of my soul and the terrors of my soul as I was made aware of my heart condition. If I could have been saved by prayers and by study and by attending services, I should long have been saved, but I could not forsake my own righteousness. Oh, how deep the Lord has to cut with that knife of His, that sword, the word of the Lord, quick and powerful and sharper than to any edged sword. How that word needs to work within us to show us how deep the malady goes. Oh, we might lose a limb. We might lose an eye. But we still haven't lost all our self-righteousness. The Lord has to continue stripping and revealing that the sins go deeper and deeper. The power of God and His holy word, for friends, reveals to us that the heart is the seat of all sin, the source of all sin. And the heart can never, ever be cleansed but through Christ Jesus. How many times do I quote that precious text because I love the sacredness of it, the beauty of it, and the truth of it. Of Jesus who comes to cleanse the temple. Always we sung it. We have made our heart a den of thieves. And Jesus came in. And swept the temple clean. The house of God. The house of worship. The place of worship. It was Jesus that came and swept it clean. And that is what we need to learn. It is that solemn truth why we love the Lord Jesus Christ with such a truth and such a wonder. Is He that has performed the deed. He hath cleansed my heart and given me pure and holy desires that had never, ever been there before. The necessity, friends. The deep necessity of knowing this truth. why it is that we must be born from heaven. Because our heart is incapable of ever being cleansed on our own merit, our own fleshly efforts. And the heart influences our emotions. The heart influences our affections. The heart sets our eye upon the things that it desires. And they aren't in heaven. And if they are in heaven, they are not in heaven's ways. Oh, we want to be in heaven. We want to escape hell. We want the pleasures of heaven, the joys of heaven, but not at the cost associated and attached. And that is that we become poor, helpless sinners, and that all is performed for us by God Himself. Paul decried the strength of the human flesh, the confidence in the human flesh. As he declared there in Romans 7, I know that in myself, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul tasted that. He had that Pharisaical spirit. He had that self-righteous holiness. He had that zeal that we talked already about. He had a supposition in his own mind, his own estimation, that he was holy, righteous, and acceptable before God. In the Word of God, he declares that he lived a more strict and righteous law than any other person. But he did not have that being born from above at that time. At that time. Except the heart, beloved friends, is cleansed from above and receives instruction from above, it will remain ignorant to the truths of salvation. Period. I believe that from the depth of my heart. The necessity of these truths being taught us. The flesh, what does the Word of God say? What does Paul say? Is it to the Galatians? The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And it's repeated also in Romans 8. These things are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That, beloved friends, is in the struggle, the trial of the Lord's people. How much less non-existent it is that the flesh without grace does nothing right and is not born again and cannot desire the things of heaven and will not accept it the way God has decreed they shall be found. Have we tasted, dear friends, the bitterness of this truth of our hearts? It may be that there are those at this moment are wrestling, seeking to find favor with God, communion with God, or they inquire. But yet this truth is not made manifest. Peace with God has not yet been found. Dear friends, it is because we still ask amiss. It is because we still do not know the truth that we cannot do nothing without glorious vine, Jesus Christ. John 14, without me, ye can do nothing. Have you been taught that solemn truth? Has that wondrous light burst in upon our understanding, friends, that we now understand what it is to be saved by grace? Those sacred truths, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. These are the sacred truths by the Word alone, the power of God alone. Born from heaven. All our learning, I don't despise learning, in its right respected place. The learning that you and I must receive, friends, is from God. In those days and in those times, I will make a new covenant with them, the Lord says in Jeremiah 31:31. And in Romans 10, I think we find it repeat, or it's in Hebrews actually. It says, I will write my laws in their minds, and I will write my laws in their hearts. I will touch their innermost affections. I will dwell within them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God.
born again. A people whom the Lord has His eye upon, for they have been named before the earth was even formed. That's why it's from all from above. We speak of election from above. We speak of the calling from called of God. For whom He hath predestinated, them He hath, whom He hath chosen, them He hath predestinated. Whom He hath predestinated, them He hath justified. Whom He hath justified, them He hath glorified. Romans 8. The increase, we speak of that too. Paul planted, Apollos watereth, but God giveth the increase. The whole of our salvation from the beginning to the end is from above. And except we are born from above, all our religion is flesh. All our religion is flesh. And then we would say, all our religion is condemned. The great necessity to the Lord will affect us, dwell within us, send His Spirit to us, and teach us. It is expedient for you, Jesus addressed His disciples in John 14 and 15, it is expedient for you that I go away. For when I go away, I will ask the Father, and He shall send the Comforter, that blessed Holy Spirit, and He shall teach thee all things. He shall reveal unto you the words of God. He shall be the revealer, the remembrancer of the Holy Scriptures. He shall teach the truths that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, dear friends, are we a born again people? That we love and we cleave to that truth. That my salvation is all of God. From first to last. Who started with you, friends? Who started with you? Who instructed you? Who convinced you? Who drew you? Who is dear to you? Who cleansed the heart, if it has been cleansed? Who instructed you in the ways of grace and salvation? Who revealed Christ to you? And what kind of power was with it? Yours or His? The deep necessity of being born again. Remember this. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said to Pilate, as he questioned him of his kingdom, art thou the king of the Jews? And he said, thou sayest it. Thou sayest that I am the king of the Jews. But my Jews, my people, my subjects, my disciples, they are not of this earth. They are people on this earth. But their religion is one that ascends into heaven. They are spiritual people. And my kingdom is a spiritual one. And how can a natural man, a natural woman, a natural child receive the things of the Spirit? If our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, if our hearts are of the flesh and of carnality in the world and all its pleasures and love, how can we be spiritual pilgrims and travelers without God visiting us and God applying His Word? We spoke in the beginning in John chapter 4 where Jesus is speaking. He sits at the well of Sychar. He waits to meet the woman who's coming there at midday for water. And she says when Jesus begins to question her of what it is to be a true worshiper of God. Where it's not Samaria, it's not Israel, it's not Jerusalem or Dan and Bethel. It is the temple of the soul and Christ within you. And she says, we know that when Messiah has come, he will teach us all things. And he says to her, he that speaketh unto thee is he. I that speak unto thee am he. But this is what Jesus said to her. And we would say to you too this afternoon, friends. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why we need, ye must be born again. That's why we utterly abhor and deny such statements and find such a deep necessity to emphasize that these things, though they accuse us of saying that our doctrines and our beliefs are devious and of Satan, we would say they are angels of darkness bringing a false light. We have no spiritual truths. We are not spiritual. We are physical and carnal and earthly. You are of the earth, earthly. And we cannot believe in Jesus, receive Jesus, embrace Jesus, trust in Jesus, commit ourselves unto Jesus, follow Jesus, or be spiritual except we are born from heaven. Receive the word from on high, and the power of God vested into our souls, and the light from God into our dark hearts, and the power of God to destroy Satan, bid him be gone out of us, and to stop us in our mad careers, and to draw us in his almighty power, in his constraining love, to love Jesus, to follow Jesus, to obey Jesus, and to become a true Christian. That is to be born from above. Except ye, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. How stands the case this afternoon now, beloved friends, in our souls? Have we felt the necessity that God come? Is that our plea? Is that our cry? And do we wrestle with God that his power and his mercy might unite into our souls to save us from ourselves? To save us from the agony, the depth of our sin? And if Hebrews 11 is true, which we believe emphatically is, all they which declare such things are strangers and pilgrims upon this earth, and they all declare plainly they seek a better country, a heavenly country, where Jesus Christ dwells. The longing is that the Lord might remember them, that the Lord might preserve them, and that the Lord at his appointed time might draw them into his precious bosom, born again. Do you feel that necessity, friends, in your heart? Do you feel that solemn truth? You cannot bear your spirit up. You cannot maintain your life, your faith, your desires, your hopes. You feel such an odd, utter poverty in yourself. You feel such a weakness in your vows and in your resolutions to walk the ways of Christianity. You feel at times such an emptiness in your profession, such an inability to raise up your spirit. That's how I feel it in myself. What solemn truth. So I know they talk about maintaining your path and walking that path of faith and maintaining your faith and walking a level playing field. I feel the opposite in my heart. I feel I cannot maintain my way. I sink into the lowest depths when I am left to myself. I cannot lift my spirit up. I would be holy and would be obedient unto the Lord. But I feel in myself there wars against the desires and such a power of the flesh. I know within reality what it is. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. That I must be given every iota of my religion from heaven. Else I shall perish forever and ever. Child of God, do you feel the same poverty? The same deep necessity. I must be born again. I have been born from again. Oh God, thou knowest all the work has been done and all the glory redounds unto thee forever and ever. What a wonderful thing it is, beloved friends, to be born again. What a wonderful thing it is to be stopped in our path, our mad career, as we are rapidly approaching eternal damnation in the place where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, and yet God has stopped us. Oh, we cannot deny the power of God intervening. The power of God placing before us a wall. The power of God breaking into our dark hearts and our hardened hearts and our cold hearts and our indifferent hearts. Oh, we cannot deny the time in life when we began to pray with Paul. We cannot deny the time when we began to search the Word of God with urgency and vehemency and the greatest of needs. Oh, we cannot deny that though the Lord has laid a very heavy burden upon our consciences, and the Lord has afflicted us with the realities of that desperately wicked heart, we cannot deny that that mysterious, powerful drawing of a poor, penitent sinner to the feet of Christ. That is being born again. And all the honor and glory redounds unto God because it is all His work. They prayed about, oh, reformed doctrine hasn't got far enough. Oh, reformed doctrine is prating about knowledge and prating about this awful heart. Well, I have to say, that's not reformed doctrine, that's deformed doctrine. That's not Calvinism, that's Arminianism. And that's not glory to man, God, but glory to man. These, I tell you, even now weeping, that these are enemies to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, is our religion a religion from heaven? Is our religion that which has truly been given to us from God? And is it our true desire to give Him all the praise and only the praise? John declared it here. He must increase. There is no other way and there is no other desire. It is not even in my mind and in my feelings that I am insulted that Jesus baptizes more than I, that all men are drawn to Him, for I am His friend and He is my Savior. I preach a preeminent Christ. I preach the glories of the dying Savior, the cross of my beloved Lamb of God, and His holy, spotless body. Oh, I cling fast to His feet and worship Him as my only means and entrance into heaven and my true salvation. He must increase. And I will be brought down lower and lower and lower in self to praise that salvation from heaven, Him who came down from heaven and the wonders He wrought on earth for my poor soul. We will end there, beloved friends, and this evening continue with our third point of the work of being born again. May the Lord have all the honor and all the praise. May He forgive us in what we've spoken amiss, and may He make up where we fail in asking. Amen. Let us sing now from hymn number 891. That image chamber foul which met Ezekiel's eye points out the breast of every soul where lurking idols lie. 891.
now, dear Lord, do forgive with thy pure eyes all that thou hast seen amiss in this afternoon. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Let's close with singing hymn 500.